Your levels are good as long as I don't get excited.
And I'm going to excite you.
Brother, I get excited.
I'm going to get you excited.
Hello, and welcome back to the Songwriter Showdown. I'm one of the hosts, Dan.
I'm the other host, Christian.
And this is the podcast where we take two prolific songwriters and put them head-to-head in a cage match to decide who had the better song each week.
It's a real slobber knocker every week. It's going to be Billy Joel versus Paul Simon.
That's right. This is season one, Ryman Simon from Connecticut versus the piano man Billy Joel from Long Island, New York.
What do we got this week, Dan? What's happening? Lay it on me.
I'm going to lay it on you in just a second.
I think I'm still recovering from last week of the upset. I'm just going to say it's an upset to me.
It's like we planned this, and I swear to you, the listener, singular, that we did not plan this.
Pause for a plus.
Because this was going to be my surprise, and he leads in with this. I am going for I'm changing my vote from last week. I am doing it. I am changing my vote.
This has never been done before. This is a first for the
In the history of the Songwriter Showdown, this has never been done. I thought about it all week. It drove me nuts as I was editing, and I said, I'm going to do it. If I can't change the rules, no one will.
Who can, yeah.
Who can? I'm going to go ahead and change my vote from Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard to Billy Joel's Piano Man.
Here's the thing. What I maybe suggested is...
Don't tell me you're going to change your vote, too.
I'd like to change... Let's call up Kaiser. No, I was going to say, do we want to do you get one revote for the season?
No. I'm calling it. I thought it through.
All right, I'm going to be keeping an eye on you, though, because if we could just flip-flop.
No, it's not going to be a flip-flop, and I made a mistake, brother. Brother, I made a mistake.
I want to apologize.
I don't know. I get confused. I get confused. I had to admit it. Piano Man should have won it last week, which is going to tie it up at 1-1. Go ahead and check out episode 1 and 2 on our iTunes feed and SoundCloud now, brother.
Subscribe. New episodes on Mondays.
That's absolutely correct.
You get them first.
Monday mornings.
This week, very tough. We're putting head-to-head two real bangers. We got Paul Simon's Kodachrome, and we have Billy Joel's Moving Out, in parentheses, Anthony's Song.
Anthony's Song, I love it.
For the other paisans in the room, Anthony's Song.
Ooh, I don't even speak that. That's exotic.
I barely do.
Don't tell your mother. So as we do around these parts, we switch who starts it off. So this week, I think we're going to start with a Paul Simon's Kodachrome.
Ooh, I like it.
All right, let me tell you where we're at in Paul Simon's career. Give you a little bit of that, trivia. He's on his third solo album at this point. There goes Ryman Simon.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
There goes Ryman Simon. I don't know where he must have been thinking the same thing we were when we came up with the title for our podcast. That's clever of him. So just to keep track, Paul Simon broke up Simon and Garfunkel in 1970. Early 1970, mm-hmm. and it's May 1973 when this single gets released. So that's three albums in, you know, 3 or 4 years or whatever, you know, roughly.
Pretty prolific already.
I bring that up because he's going to take a real break here. So, you know, it's important for us as we're doing this mostly chronologically. That's a registered trademark term.
Mm-hmm. Also, as we release the years on these, you're going to see it's barely chronological.
Absolutely. Barely chronological, mostly chronological. They're synonymous. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at 1973 for Paul Simon because he's going to take a bit of a snooze from 75 to 80 and catch up with Billy Joel year-wise. Because Anthony, is it? Is it pronounced Anthony?
I believe so. Yeah.
Anthony's Song is from 1977. But anyways, back to Paul Simon. So this album comes out and, you know, there isn't a whole lot of trivia with this besides a few little tidbits. Apparently, Paul Simon claims that you gave me this tidbit.
Right before we threw on the mic.
Yeah. I didn't read this. Allegedly, he claims he didn't know that Kodachrome was a registered trademark of Kodak.
That's what I read. I heard it was going to be, he had the tune to like something. He was like, oh, it's Moving Home. And then he heard Kodachrome and he's like, oh, that's got a real nice vibe to it. The rest of the song is clearly about photography and
we could be reading that trivia wrong. We said allegedly, right? You have to say that.
I say that in front of everything.
My podcast lawyer told me. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. Here's.
I've been told to leave the room. If he signals me out that window, I need to leave the room. We have a boiler room situation. Leave the mics.
Put it out in the briefcase. I'll burn it.
That's
it. We're done. I read that it was called moving. No, I'm sorry.
Moving home?
Moving. Wouldn't that be something if we had moving home versus moving out?
Oh. I would have loved that.
Oh, thanks, guys. When this hits the charts, I think it makes it to number two, though. This is his highest charting single, for sure.
Wow.
But when it comes into the chart, it's around number nine. Just to give you an idea of what's going on at the time, Tony Orlando has a hit with Dawn of Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree at this time.
Oh, very nice.
And George Harrison's got Give Me Love, in parentheses, Give Me Peace on Earth. I'm not familiar with this.
It's as true today as it was then.
Thank you. Thank you, George.
Yeah.
Another interesting fact about this song that we kind of alluded to earlier was that Kodak actually required him to include the registered trademark for Kodachrome on all of the printed material.
I like that. That's a little...
Absolutely.
Don't forget who owns you.
Absolutely.
Do not forget.
Yeah. So they... on all the U.S. releases. And then here's where it gets real wild. In Britain, they didn't release it as an A-side because of that very issue. I don't know where I read that. I really wish I had a citation for that.
Was that like a rights issue?
Yeah, there was some kind of rights issue so that when they released it... Oh, here it is.
That's when they were kind of feeling punk and they were like, nah.
In the United Kingdom, the song was marketed as the B-side to Take Me to Mardi Gras. According to Casey Kasem, you may have heard of him.
Oh.
Casey Kasem. This happened because the British Broadcasting Company, I know it as BBC, would not play the trademark name, Kodachrome. So they couldn't play it. People in the UK to this day have not heard this song. And also, the same thing happened in Australia. They wouldn't play it in Australia due to trademark issues.
Mm. The records, they spin backwards down there. So everything just sounds like the devil talking to them.
Oh.
It's spooky.
I don't, one final note about Kodachrome is in 2012, Paul Simon released a live album called Paul Simon Live in New York.
Oh, clever.
At which point the registered trademark was dropped.
Oh.
It just says Kodachrome, buddy.
Is it because they stopped making Kodachrome film?
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. This guy.
He knows it.
He nailed it.
I nailed it.
Yeah. So who laughed last?
Paul Simon.
The Cape Man. Let's take a listen to Kodachrome.
I really like the drums on this song. Yeah.
You know that hissing's gone, though, from the previous tracks. Must have recorded in the developed nation. That's wrong.
Keep that. I remember listening to this in high school and being like, oh yeah, man. He gets me.
He gets
all that crap I learned.
Let's go ahead and take a chorus here.
Yeah. It's real poppy. Like, if coming after, you know, Julio again. Real poppy.
Absolutely.
Real cheesecakey, too, I feel like. Just like, oh, geez,
Rhyming
shucks.
Simon. Yeah.
Now, what happens, do you think, in Nikon?
Ooh.
Do you think he has to register that?
I bet you they're all owned by the same company in the end. Well, I mean, maybe not in the 70s. In the end, they were.
Big Brother, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is an enjoyable song.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. It's really easygoing. Like I said, I like those drums. I like that little, like...
Absolutely.
Kind of marching forward, you get a nice driving beat the whole time.
I think that's what's interesting of early 1970s Paul Simon is that he is playing with what you think pop music is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at what's happening at the time, there's plenty of other examples, and I'm sure he's stealing it from someone. But he's
everyone's stealing something.
Absolutely,
from
like he's the tip of the iceberg, and he's saying like, hey, a pop song can be this reggae song, a pop song can be this. I didn't even know what you'd classify me and Julio as.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Yeah,
it has tribal elements to it, mm-hmm. you know, like or maybe African melodies mm-hmm. in there. I'm no expert. You're the expert on that sort of thing.
No,
world music.
Yeah,
you're the world music expert.
That's my jam.
Yeah, but here comes another song that doesn't fit into your typical sound for the era. You know, it's not like what do you got? Like Carly Simon's going on at this point. Like You're So Vain.
Yeah.
Jackson Brown's coming along in a couple years. You know, artists like that.
Oh, that's an interesting thing, though, about Paul Simon. If we are just going, it's song against song, which we should be doing. It's very hard to do, but we should be doing that.
I feel like I need to oppose you on that and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do whatever I want, whenever I want. That's why I started a podcast.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, glass break.
Stunner.
Yeah, there you go.
I just stunned Vince McMahon.
Because that is kind of a big deal, right? Like, I'm giving you something that is not going to fit in whatever box is out at the time or whatever the popular music is right now, but it's still going to, you know, it's still going to chart.
Yeah.
But
it's so sweet. It's so saccharine sweet, his pop songs are.
Yeah.
That, like, you couldn't resist them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and maybe that's something you weighed against it. There's nothing, maybe subversive is the wrong word, but there's nothing subversive about them at all. They are just, you know, like I said, they're very cheesecake. They're very, like, easygoing.
Absolutely.
He's not going to offend anybody with these. And I don't know if that's a plus or a minus. Like,
yeah.
He is giving you something new, but at the same time, he's not.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's pick up the later half of the song here. I often thought about an ex-girlfriend party.
What does that look like? What's the best? What's the best end to that?
I don't know, but let me give you this line here. Yeah. Thanks for going on record with that one, Paul.
Thanks for the insight, Professor.
Yeah. No. It's been noted that Paul Simon often changes. It looks worse, and everything looks worse in black and white. Everything looks better in black and white.
He can't even remember which one he wrote.
Yeah, something sexual.
I assume.
That's all, yeah.
Can I get back to the you want to have a party for your ex-girlfriends, or can I not do this on the air?
I think we can absolutely give an edit point and then discuss this.
Okay. I think this is what people are tuning in for, though. They're like, we like the songs. We like your little tidbits. You guys aren't qualified to talk about rock and roll at all. So stop saying subversive.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
When I was about 21,
yeah.
I don't know. I probably had listened to Coda Chrome, but I absolutely loved the idea of an ex-girlfriend party. I'd probably been dumped recently, and
sure.
I was like,
a real Cusack situation.
Exactly. Real high fidelity. I'm living it, reading it, and watching it all at once.
Oh, that's my record store. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, somehow I imagined, and I still remember the girls that I was going to invite to this party.
some of them were just going to cause too much trouble.
Exactly, but I don't know what the end result was in that. Like, what is Paul Simon thinking? He's going to get them all in one room, all together for one night.
I think he wants to be punished. I think Paul Simon's...
For our younger listeners, please just tune out for the moment.
Just next couple seconds. I think he's got all these cheesecake singles, but then you go back to Simon and Garfunkel, there is some dark stuff there. Where is the darkness, Paul? Where did that go?
Hello,
now he's talking.
Darkness, my old friend.
Now he's talking about all these ex-girlfriends, and he's just going to line up, throw a get mask on, and...
I'm going to take a totally different route with
Okay,
it,
yeah, fair.
And just say that while being masochistic... I don't believe it's sexual in nature, unlike me and Julio.
Absolutely.
Down in the schoolyard. I think he literally is just so confused with what's going on in life that he figures, get them all in the same room.
Get some perspective.
Absolutely. Get some perspective, much like High Fidelity.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Which now I'm wondering, did Nick Hornsby steal the whole idea of High Fidelity
from
Paul Simon? Huh. Let's go ahead and just wrap up Kodachrome here.
Love it. You know, again, we're getting into this. It's
sure.
You know, we're looping a little bit, maybe a little bit too much.
Paul
but
Simon does love
to love
loop.
A loop. But here we go. Here's something fun. Kick it into a little double time.
Are you familiar with the song LSD, Lakeshore Drive?
Yeah.
I wonder which song came first, because they're very similar here in the jam. And, you know, he does this for another 30. Yeah. I'm going to splice in a little Lakeshore Drive. Probably not.
Why
this
not?
Is where maybe a little side by side. I'll hear out.
This is really giving Billy for a run for his money. I feel
ooh,
like this
piano?
Is a direct,
oh, direct shot.
So.
Shots fired, piano man.
Spitting on the floor.
Oh, classic. Classic Paul Simon. So Kodachrome. That's
Kodachrome.
Yeah, that's
it's weird. I feel like there's really not much to it, though. Is it? Maybe just because we're listening to it
he's
in
got
20
two,
second snippets?
No, but he's got two solid verses
and a
good. Like, you know, a good jive. He's got two solid verses.
Absolutely.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, you know, like if I could get all the girls I knew when I was single. Like, these are the two ideas.
And say what you will to that, Everything Looks Worse in Black and White really stands out, too.
Or Everything Looks better in Black and White. Either way on this one.
But that's, you know, there's some standout, there's some standout lyrics in here, but I just feel like it's very even.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It was. Song, though. It didn't really go anywhere. Kind of at the end, I think he knew that, and that's where he got tough there. I don't know. Should we move on?
You know what? Why don't we move on and move on out? Because we got Billy Joel's 1977 single off The Stranger, Moving Out, in parentheses, Anthony song. But this one hit at number 17 on the Billboard charts.
Let me just interject here real fast and say,
educate me.
Billy Joel released, I believe, two albums in this time period. He came back, and you know what? I'm not going to know the names of them, but the singles that are of note in this time period are "The Entertainer," which was a direct response to "Piano Man." Mm-hmm. He was angry that they cut his song down to 3:05, and he mentions it in "The Entertainer." Strange move, but you know, Billy, that's Billy. And then in 1975, he had another record that's going to have that single "New York State of Mind" on it.
Was that, so there's "Street Life Serenade" and "Turnstiles"?
Yeah, "Turnstiles" maybe has "New York State of Mind." That would make sense, subways and whatever. Mm-hmm. "New York State of Mind," it's not a bad song. It's iconic. It just didn't make the cut for this.
Yeah.
Billy Joel's got so many wonderful songs.
It was hard. I was so fighting.
The list started at 23. We had to whittle it down to 10.
We were ready to do 23 weeks of this shit.
Much like they whittled down "Piano Man" to 3:05.
Very much so.
All right, moving out. Take it away.
So moving out, number 17. Huge year for singles for him, though. 77, The Stranger. There's "Just the Way You Are," "Only the Good Die Young."
Really?
"Only the Good Die Young." Yeah, that's a great one. That's 77, though, too.
I hope we're doing "Only the Good Die Young" because I have a great Love Boat anecdote about him making a guest appearance.
I would love to
save
hear
it.
That.
Save it.
And "She's Always a Woman" in Vienna.
I'll tell you what.
That's a lot of singles.
I love all Billy Joel. I love them all, but I'm glad we're doing "Moving Out."
Absolutely.
And probably...
I hope we do.
We'll have to look at the sheets.
Do you want the tidbits now or you want them later?
Give me a little, then we'll hop in. We've had a little music.
All right, so I think last time on, we saw Billy Joel kind of being very poetic. We talked about seeing these vignettes and these very vivid little stories. In this one, couldn't be more clear that he is calling out... basically, he's calling out working class folks, you know, that, you know, you're bragging about working all these extra hours just to buy something material so you can appear like you made it. And that was a big thing for him. I was reading an interview. I'll go ahead and post the full quote on the supplemental materials after this. But basically, he was talking to Howard Stewart and he's like, "Oh, I saw a lot of friends that just like gave up their talent or gave up their dream, you know, to work a little longer, you know, buy the nicer car, take care of the family." A little weird that he's like, they worked hard, they took care of their families, like,
oh, they
chumps.
Worked, yeah, what a bunch of idiots.
So I wonder...
fell in love with a woman that wasn't a model. Don't bother. Huh? Don't bother. She's not a model. Don't bother, huh?
Flicks a cigarette at him. Which I wonder, like...
ties his skinny tie.
Who does Billy Joel think he is at this point?
I don't know. Well, I think he's always... we talked about that chip on his shoulder earlier. And keep in mind, I don't know a whole lot of Billy Joel's personality. We're just going off, like, what's in the songs and what's in the, like...
Absolutely.
We didn't read a biography on him. Like, this is just, like, what he's representing in the songs, what we're getting from little interviews that we're catching. Like, but he does seem to have this chip on his shoulder, like, hey, I'm the man.
Well, I guess maybe if you look at it this way... he is all about the working class dude, the blue collar guy. I think in many of his songs, he's talking about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just the blue collar guy that's like peacocking with all this meaningless bullshit of, but I got a nicer car. I know I worked over the last 3 weekends, but you can see the car, right? So people know
that
I got the money. So I think it's more so that it's not being grounded with attitude.
I wonder if Billy Joel wrote this song today, what you would say about people going to college when they can't afford it, taking out $150,000 in loans to say that they went to college, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder what the commentary would look like in today's, you know, world.
I think it's very much the same thing. If that's moving up, I'm moving out. You did not see that, but we both just went back in our chairs as if we were blown back by the music.
We're really getting into sweet spot Billy Joel at this point.
Absolutely. That's our first ethnically named character. A lot of them throughout the song. Mama Leone.
It's like he was listening to me and Julio. There it is.
sack.
Is that all you get for your money?
Is that all you get for your money? It's saying it. Such a waste of time.
If that's what it's all about. Nice crash. If that's moving up, then he does it like nobody else. No.
You know, in Piano Man, we heard these, like, oh, very vivid, beautiful portraits of these sad individuals. Mm. And this one, it's just, it's, you're working hard. It's going to give you a heart attack. You know that.
Oh.
But, hey, at least you got that, you know, the caddy to show for it.
He's
saying, nail on the head. There's no dancing around it.
Now, here's an interesting thing. I know Piano Man won last week. You can check the record on that.
Go back and listen.
Go back and listen. You'll know what I'm talking about. But if you're talking Billy Joel, and someone's going, Billy Joel, which one is he? And you go, working too hard can give you a heart attack. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that he nailed it with that. That, like, everyone would be like, what? Oh, he's the one with the heart attack song? You know, like,
yeah.
who would even go there? Like, it's so, like, inside the song, it's not annoying. But the concept of it is annoying. Like,
hearing you do it there is very annoying.
It's really driving our listeners nuts.
Yeah,
please stop.
It's like chewing on Mike. No, I'm with you. That is such a... I was thinking about that. That is such a weird, but like kind of masterful stroke.
Absolutely.
And that makes it stand out completely.
It makes the song. It's really why you're coming to the song. I love all the imagery. I love the story he's telling.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Billy Joel is Italian, but he's really painting the portrait of an Italian family here. Like I was commenting during the song, it's very interesting from week to week to see that these songwriters, these professional songwriters that are doing this for a living, for, you know, as a craft, they're taking turns doing the same sort of thing. Paul Simon's writing a bit of poetry. Billy Joel's writing a bit of poetry. Paul Simon's writing a song, you know, that tells a story about some ethnic people in New York. Billy Joel responds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously it's 4 or 5 years apart.
And if you start seeing signs somewhere, you see them everywhere.
Absolutely. But
still, it's interesting.
It is interesting, like, because, you know, I was a very amateur songwriter, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, and I couldn't necessarily find that through line in me. But I wonder if we took 5 songwriters and looked at it, if we could find their song that is a story about a crime, their song that is just mm-hmm. poetry set to music, you know, is this something that all songwriters do? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like when for writers, you know, that's you look at like
when you
whatever.
Say that, it kind of like puts down songwriters.
Oh no, sorry. So
real
for,
writers,
so like whatever no, novelists or
sure,
you know, something like that. There are like, I'm gonna butcher this, and I should know it more than I do. But you know, there's this like whatever 8 universal themes where it's like man versus man versus
sure.
beast, yada yada.
I thought it was 23.
I think like you're thinking Michael Jordan. Brief aside, do you remember the Michael Jordan cologne?
Yeah, I mean, there was Michael Jordan everything at one point, wasn't
there? Right, but it came in a little basketball, you opened it up.
No, I don't remember it at all, but I'm just, you know, it doesn't make good radio to say no.
Yes and.
Yes.
The rumor had it that there was, and maybe it was just a rumor that I heard or either made up,
you know.
But there was a little bit of a sweat in each bottle.
Oh, I love it.
That's why you bottled that.
You know where they get that from, that gimmick? Kiss, when they did the Kiss comic book in the 70s, I want to say, probably around 77.
I like where
so,
this is going.
With Marvel.
Yeah.
They each went to the factory and they drew a vial of blood and put it in the red ink for the comic book. You can't do that
I
these
love
days.
That.
That's pre-AIDS right there, buddy. That is pre-AIDS.
Big risk. It's
yeah,
a
absolutely.
Big risk.
You can't do that now. Could you imagine that? By my comic book.
A little bit of blood in there.
A little bit of blood, but you're going to like that. You can't do that. You can't
also, the guy at the factory, a nozzle comes unhinged, sprays him in the face with this stuff.
Oh, my God.
That's your origin story right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't do that these days.
No. I mean, should we play the rest of it? This is just...
Legally, we
God,
can't play
so
the rest
good.
Of it. I'm going to skip ahead.
Yeah, please. Moving out.
Has he got a final verse on this?
He does have a very long take of a Chevy pulling out. Or a Corvette
right.
or something.
Oh, yeah.
Again, masterful stroke.
Crazy who?
With a crazy mind.
Oh.
Here's Pineapple Sam with the overtime. Is that all you get for your money?
Hmm.
If that's your shit, man, go ahead. But
if that,
for me, I'm
yeah.
moving out.
Absolutely. I'm just going to play this piano and go on stadium tours. Loser.
Yeah.
Working for your family.
I'll marry a couple models. How about that?
Ah. Yeah, this outro, normally I would curtail it, but I think it's very interesting.
It takes a strange turn.
It's not strange at all. Go listen to Eric Clapton, Layla. You see exactly where he got this from.
There he goes.
Oh, look at those That's toms. It. Those toms. Oh.
Car still driving.
Yeah, really. You should just pull out at this point, Billy. You really revved it up.
He's blowing smoke against all the working class people. Oh, no.
You should just be a jerk at this point.
Yeah,
you know?
Jeez,
like,
Louise.
I understand. Oh, yoy, yoy. Oh, that's Moving Out, Anthony's song. Yeah, that end is really derivative of Layla, which is also kind of interesting. I don't want to overstep my bounds by saying, but you can definitely hear what's going on in the world and Billy Joel reflecting it. Mm-hmm. If it's a type of music, if it's a little riff, if it's a whatever else, and we're going to get to that in the season finale. I don't want to say anything more about that. Episode 10.
No, save it. Bottle that up, save it. Yeah. Just like Michael Jordan's cologne.
A little drop of sweat. Something I want to say about these two songs that I've noticed. One, they're both 3 minutes and 31 seconds. You can't see it.
Coincidence?
You can't see it. But Christian's mind was just blown.
I know they came out several years apart.
Absolutely blown. 3 minutes and 31 seconds. Here's another thing. Moving Out always feels so much longer to me. Like, it seems like it's more epic than 3 minutes and 31 seconds. Like,
I agree.
Oh, that's one of his six-minute jams, right? But no, like, it's
that
a
car
tight...
peels out for a minute and a half.
Yeah, where did he put the rest of the song? It's all in the tight hi-hat.
The toms sound great. Oh, oof.
Those, don't even get me started on Billy Joel's toms. You know I'm a sucker for them.
He's got a great tom game.
Oh, I love it.
So are we at the point where we're voting?
This is it. This is the moment of truth. I am not going to wax poetic. I'm just going to say it. Moving Out, Anthony's song. That's my song
all
of
right,
the week.
All right. That's Dan's pick. Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, Moving Out, Anthony's song.
Did we dismiss Kodachrome too quickly?
I did not dismiss Kodachrome too quickly. Billy Joel has done something above and beyond with Moving Out. I don't know what it is. He's done it. It's got sax.
It's very
It's got
epic.
A Chevy. It's got a guitar. It's got a saxophone. Did I say saxophone? It's
First sax- guy to use a Chevy as an instrument.
Yeah. Take that, Neil Peart. Kodachrome is a nice song. I love it.
Good.
I want it all the time. On the radio, please. But like, it's kind of more of the saccharine sweet songs from Paul Simon.
I think
Billy Joel just really, he upped his game with this Moving Out. You know, New York State of Mind's clever. You know, we're not talking about that, but the songs that happened in between. But this was definitely a level jump for Billy Joel up to Moving Out.
Well, yeah, like you said, this is him like, kind of becoming Billy Joel. Like, if Piano
Absolutely.
Man was, you can't have Billy Joel without Piano Man, this is him, like, whatever, getting to the next level, and he's like, okay, this is now my career.
Absolutely.
They're all going to be like this.
Yeah. And he really takes off from here, but, you know, that we're getting ahead of ourselves.
You know what? The kid got quite famous.
You may have heard of him.
I don't think I actually said my vote. You know what it is. It's Moving Out.
Yeah, as an Italian, you couldn't vote any other way.
You wouldn't believe what my mother would say to me.
Absolutely, if you voted for that Paul Simon from Connecticut. Get out of here.
That's twice in a row we've really leaned on that Italian thing, huh?
Yeah, well, you're Italian. We get to do it.
That's true.
Nobody likes making fun of the Irish anymore.
Nah, it's played.
It's played, yeah. Well, there you have it.
Jeez, Man, yeah.
Moving Out, Anthony's song. It's the winner this week.
It clearly is.
It's a long season. Go back and listen to episode one, episode two.
Can't tell
two.
You the results from the other ones.
Can't
You'll
tell
have
you the
to
results.
Listen.
Yeah, I'll have to listen.
Just skip to the end.
Where are they going to listen to it?
You're going to listen to that on iTunes. We're at Songwriter Showdown. That's the name of the podcast. You can find it there. Social media, we are always at Song Show Pod.
That Songwriter Showdown podcast, shortened all of them,
up.
Song Show Pod.
And if you want to find me, I'm at Dime Store Films. That's dime like the change in your pocket. And the rest is self-explanatory. But yeah, I'm at Twitter and Facebook. And you can also go to our website, dimestorefilms.com. Watch some of our movies if you want.
If you want to get in touch with me, I'm at Atomics Dan on Twitter. And Atomics Cafe here in Chicago at Chicago and Damon is where you can find me most days. Come on by. And is the tradition in these parts, we have the winner play us out.
Billy, take me away. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late.